b'Mitzrayim. The quote is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. Let me ask you a question. I'm assuming that most of you have a boss, an employer, someone that you work for, or someone that you are accountable to in some specific way. What is the connection between you and that individual? You may not consider yourself a slave, or maybe you do. In that case, maybe we can talk more about in the future what the biblical concept of work is all about. Maybe we shouldn't consider ourselves slaves to our employers, but that's a different drash. Israel found themselves subject to Pharaoh. That verse in Deuteronomy says, we were slaves le Pharaoh, to Pharaoh. In Jewish tradition, it points out that while Pharaoh had his thumb on Israel, Israel did not define itself by the personality of Pharaoh. And while at your work, while you may have responsibilities, while you may have things that your employer requires you to do, your identity is not defined by that employer, by that individual. The work that you do does not define you. Your identity is defined in other places and in other ways. It was the same way, according to this passage in Deuteronomy, with Israel. They were only avadim. They were only servants to Pharaoh. They were not servants of Pharaoh. And the Jewish literature does a wonderful job bringing out, highlighting the difference of what it means to be servants to someone and servants of someone. Let me present the contrast picture. It is in Psalm chapter 113. There's numerous places that could explain and highlight this difference, but I chose Psalm 113. By the way, this is the first of the Hallel Psalms, which are read during Passover. So how appropriate. Which is why I chose it, actually. Psalm 113 says, Hallelujah! Give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. In other words, from east to west, everywhere, God's name should be praised. And it says in verse 2, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time and forever. So whenever, now, forever, we should give blessing to the Most High. It's interesting that we're told here, no matter where you are, from east to west, no matter when it is, now or any time, we are to bless God's name. But I want to direct this back to the first verse where it says, Hallelujah. Hallelujah avdei Adonai. Hallelujah et shem Adonai. Catch this phrase. Hallelujah avdei Adonai. Give praise, you servants of the Lord. The construction there is avdei Adonai. Literally, servants of the Lord. It's a different grammatical construction than we had in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that said, that we were avadim le Pharaoh. We were slaves to Pharaoh. Here, the construction is avdei Adonai, servants of the Lord. In this case, it's more than just possession. It's more than just, I work for my boss. I'm an employee to my boss. Here it is, Avdei Adonai, I am a servant of God. There is an intended relationship. There is a kinship that's spoken here. How does the Jewish people define themselves in Hebrew? Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel. There is an implied relationship. If we are children of, then we are related to the person of whom we are the sons and daughters. There's a kinship implied when we talk about that link. It's more than just possession. We're not just children to Israel. We're children of Israel. There's a different idea, a different emphasis when we talk about being children of something, not just to something. If we're of something, that means we share in the warp and the woof of that identity, of that construct. In Psalm 113, we are called not avadim ze Adonai, not servants to God. We are called servants of God. There is a vast difference. There is a vast difference. We have spoken in the past and many times of how God did not merely bring Israel out of bondage and slavery for them to be free. Pesach, Passover, is not the 4th of July. In our country, we celebrate how we... And I used to be able to quote the Declaration of Independence, the first paragraph, and I don't have it prepared here today. But we declared our separateness, our desire to form our separate identity from Great Britain, and to separate ourselves from that empire and establish our own identity and to proclaim our independence. This, however, is not the idea of Passover. Yes, God stepped in and proclaimed freedom for captives, but that doesn't mean that we have declared our independence. Remember how Paul talked about you are a slave. And that's in the New Covenant scriptures. Yes, you are a son or daughter of the Most High, but that doesn't change the fact that we are still his servants. Paul declares that even in the New Covenant that Yeshua has begun, that we are still servants. We get to choose who we want to be servants to. Do you want to serve the nature of, as Rod says, of sin and death? Or do you want to serve the Most High? And I should have had the Bob Dylan song queued up that he recorded about 30 years ago. You gotta serve somebody. And so Bob Dylan, believe it or not, wrote a song based on the book of Romans about this very idea. You are going to be a servant. You are going to be a slave. Just accept it. The Passover didn't change it. The Passover just brought us from being Pharaoh's servants to being God's servants. We were servants lefaro. We were servants to Pharaoh, but now we are become servants of God. His identity can be formed in us. His life can shape us. His power can renew us. We are still avadim, servants, but now we are not servants of Pharaoh. We were never, by the way, servants of Pharaoh. He never shaped our identity, but now our identity can be shaped and formed by the Most High. So first of all, I want you to again recognize that you're going to be a servant. By the way, that's one of the most common ways that Rav Shaul, Rabbi Paul, identified himself in the New Covenant Scriptures. When he began, not all, but most of his letters, there's a couple of exceptions, he almost always said, I'm Paul, the servant or the slave of Messiah. The Greek word that he used means either servant or slave. As you perhaps know, the Hebrew word eved means, can have that same range. It can mean slave. It can mean servant. And so Paul chooses to identify himself this way, often before he even identifies himself as an apostle. In one case, he says, I am Paul, the servant of Messiah, and called to be an apostle. He was first a servant. He first understood his relationship, his kinship relationship to the Most High. Do you recognize that you are a servant? Or are you trying, even by living as a believer, if you know the Most High in that way, are you trying to live contrary to him? Do you not recognize that if you enter into relationship to someone, your identity, especially the Most High, your identity is to be shaped and formed by that relationship? Secondly, this is a relationship of great significance. He has taken us from being slaves to someone else to be servants of him. He wants to show you his compassion. He wants to show you his power. He wants to show you his life. Let me ask you a question. Who is the king in the Exodus story? What? Pharaoh. That's right. Pharaoh is the king in the Exodus story. That wasn't a trick question. Now I have you edgy after asking a question earlier. 14 times in the Exodus story, the first 14 chapters of the book, Pharaoh is given the title king, Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt. 14 times. I mean, he's wielding that power. Those avadim, those slaves that he has taken possession of, that don't necessarily aren't in relationship, that have no kinship to him, but he's certainly oppressing them, holding his thumb on them, keeping them as slaves to himself. 14 times, the king of Egypt thinks that he has this power, though God himself speaks to him and says, send my people out that they may worship me. By the way, the verb for worship is the same, from the same root that means slave. Send your slaves out so that they can be my slaves. And of course, he says no and no and no time and time again. But let me ask you yet another question about the book of Exodus. Who is the king that reigns in the book of Exodus? What? The Most High. Thank you, whoever said that. The Most High is the one who reigns. For instance, earlier when Shimon was leading us in our prayer, he quoted Exodus 15, the Micha Mocha. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, doing wonders? That's from Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. And it goes on to talk about God's power, in poetic terms, of delivering his people. And then in verse 18, it says, Adonai yimlok leolam va'ed. Adonai yimlok leolam va'ed, which means, we recited it earlier, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The word for king, melech, is only used of Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. But the verb to reign, malach, is only used once in the entire book of Exodus. And do you know what? It's not used of Pharaoh. It's not used of Pharaoh. Pharaoh is not the melech who reigns. He may be presented as the king 14 times, but he is never said to reign. The verb to reign is only used once. Exodus chapter 15, verse 18. Adonai yimlok leolam va'ed. The Lord reigns forever and ever. Do you get this? Does this strike you the way it strikes me? Pharaoh's presented as the one with the clout, the one with the power, the one that can possess servants. But that's all. It's mere possession. He never reigns. When it finally says that someone reigns, we would expect it to be Pharaoh. After all, it's called the king 14 times. But when it finally comes, it is the Most High, as someone said, who is the one who reigns. Adonai yimlok leolam va'ed. And this encourages my heart in such profound ways. When the Lord steps in to deliver us, when the Lord steps in to bring us from being slaves to Pharaoh to being his servants, Avdei Adonai, to establish that relationship with us, he is taking up a kingly role in our lives. But he is to us what Pharaoh never was. He is to us what Pharaoh never was. Pharaoh was the one that was called a king. He was the one that had a title. He is the one that had the clout. He is the one that wore the robes, but he never reigned. By God stepping in and bringing us freedom and life in our lives, he is the one that has earned the right to reign in our life. By the way, God is never called a king, at least in the book of Exodus. He is elsewhere, but he's never called a king. That contrast is never fought with Pharaoh. But it simply does something that Pharaoh never did. It never says Pharaoh ruled. Pharaoh reigned. He had the title. He didn't have the job. He had the noun. He didn't have the verb. God is the one and the only one in the book of Exodus that is said to reign. Did you know that this is the very first time in all of Scripture that it mentions God's kingdom? After all, if God is the one who reigns, then what is his domain? His domain is his kingdom. And it would take a month of Sabbaths to fully plumb the depths of what the kingdom of God is. We need to do that sometime, I'm sure. But when did the kingdom of God begin? The kingdom of God began when he brought his people out of bondage and slavery from Pharaoh. He earned the right to rule by his power. Not because he gave himself the title Melech, but because he acted for his people. That is the difference between being slaves avadim zepharoh, slaves to Pharaoh, and being avdei Hashem, servants of God. Because he is the one that has earned that link. He's the one that's earned that relationship in our life. And whatever it is that you have been a slave to in your life, it might carry the title of fear, of damaged emotions, of painful circumstances, a clouded, dirty past. And it may carry titles that are as big as king, but it doesn't reign. It doesn't rule. The Lord steps in with a new Passover, which is what Yeshua came to bring us, and he brings us to a new place. He is the one that rules, not the 14 king titles that try to establish their foothold in your life. He is the one who rules. Those other things never earned the right to rule just because they have the big title. He, the Most High, is the one that redeems us and then puts his identity in us so that we can be servants of him and not just servants for him. Please, please recognize that you are not a servant for the Lord. You're a servant of the Lord. And there is a world of difference. Next week, we'll continue with another Passover theme. But I just pray that on this day, being the first Sabbath of the first month, in entering into this holy month, as it's known in Jewish tradition, I pray that you're encouraged, and I pray that you're challenged to observe Passover with new joy and with new dedication.